Thank you, Dr. Tang. I'm going to show some examples on what we have done to link the data within the state systems. As many of you know, we have many existing data and data systems at different levels, federal level, state level, local agencies, even different agents, different hospitals, or many places. We do have those data exist. For example, is when we try to create a data warehouse at in Nevada, we identified 44 different data systems as we can use putting to our data warehouse. And at the same time, there are many public health research questions we need to answer. And many of those questions, you don't have to reinvent the wheel and to create a new source of cost. So potentially, when you do those linkage, you might have the cost effective effect, and also relatively is unbiased. I put a quote here as relatively, you don't have to have a sampling errors, some bias from different type of bias, because theoretically, your data system is talking about the entire population. And also, more importantly, is a typical standalone data system may not answer your question at all. Such as you're talking about some database may have enough exposure or behavior, those information, but your health outcomes may be showed up at another system. So there are quite a bit of potential advantages when you do those linkage. There are many ways you do the data linkage. I'm going to give you the examples of three major ones we used. First one is, of course, is case by case, case to case linkage. The second is by time. If something happened in temporal manner, you can use them, link them by the time. The third is by space. If the something happened in the same space, so you can do the spatial analysis to get them linked to each other. So the first, when you do case by case, what we did was two methods. One, first method is if you have enough information, such as the last name, first name, social security, date of birth, if you can exactly match them, that would be perfectly. However, many times, different database may have different information, may not give you complete information, or some missing value, or typo, or change after married, change the first name. So many of the reasons we have to use the statistical method we call probabilistic match, such as if you have seven digit of from nine social security digit matched, you may consider this possibly as a same person. Then you go to the second step to check first name, phone number, and other information. I'll give you a first example. What we did was we cross-matched between the births and HIV registry. We're trying to find how many children are born to those positive parents, not just mother, father or information. We also try to match, because when we do the HIV registry, we may have the information at one time we do investigation, then the information stay not dynamic. But we want to know after they registered, are they still give birth? How many of those births, children are born to those parents? And are they at a high risk? And what is the prevention point? And the policy-wise, is it worse to do mandatory check during the pregnancy, and so on? What we did was we put about 9 years registry data together. We have about over 200,000 births and 100 over 100 deaths. We try to find also outcomes of deaths, so we have deaths information there. And also we have 8,400 HIV cases. So we do the match. The results showed in Nevada, we have more than 300 children born to the HIV positive parents. And then we checked the other information, such as how many of these children already confirmed themselves are HIV positive. And we find another information is there are 41 of those children lost at least one parent before they're 5 years old. So then you can check the information you can never find from HIV registry itself. You can go to check their prenatal care information from the birth certification, such as their first trimester prenatal care, only 44% compared to 77% at that time, the state average. Then you can do the disparity study, such as race ethnicity. We find a very stunning results on the race ethnicity study. In Nevada, we have about 6% in our population, our black population. But if you check this part of the subgroup, we find 65% of women lacking of prenatal care is from black population. So we do have a vulnerable population there we can find for our next step of intervention. And also, if we check the health behaviors during the pregnancy, we find there are much higher risk behaviors, such as smoking. They have 41% pregnant women are smokers, and they have almost 15% of them are drinking alcohol during the pregnancy. And on, you can do more. The birth outcomes, like low birth rate, they have two or three times higher than state average. So that's the first example. We do the registry. The second example is more clinical and healthcare outcomes. If you are in the clinical side, you might understand these procedures. This is a procedure during the vaginal delivery for the children. At one point, people believe, the doctors believe, with this procedure will prevent the severe trauma after birth. But is this necessary? How much evidence you have to do this procedure? We might have some clinical studies from one setting or from small sample size. But if you have the whole state information put together, thousands of those information already there. What we did was we cross-matched between the birth data has information about their socioeconomic status, their ask risk factors, and hospital data. Hospital have their diagnosis. So after you do the linkage, you can answer the question about after control those risk factors, such as the siblings, is the first birth, and so on, and other risk conditions, medical conditions. We find actually this procedure is not preventing, actually increased risk, not that significantly, but it did increase. So maybe this is not necessary procedure, and clinical wise. This is another example. We used in case-to-case match. The third example we used for case-to-case match is the HIV-positive inmates. Every year, we have thousands of people released, exist from the jail. But higher percentage of them compared to general population are with HIV. But after they release to the society, they might kind of different situation for them. They need to incorporate to the society. But from public health perspective, we need to understand how many of them, what kind of situations they are. When we do the follow-up, it's not just for them, this subgroup themselves, but also for the prevention for the general population. So we did a cross-match between those the inmates released from jail, from prison, to our HIV database. So we did cross-match, and then we find those people and find their problems. If you are interested to see more, the methodology, the results, I have these references. We did publish those paper as peer-reviewed journal, so you can find it. It's from the journals. The second type of linkage is by time. If something happened in the same, the temporal related, such as air pollution. Air pollution may be changed from today to tomorrow by time. But if the health impact can be checked also by time, then you link them through the time analysis. But when you do this kind of study, there are several issues, such as the other time-related factors. You have to control those factors. Maybe not just air pollution, maybe just the temperature change, seasonality change, or the day of the week of service, such as emergency room usage. Saturday, Sunday may be different from Monday because the physician's office closed. And also, statistically, as many of you are familiar with, when we do this, we need to use a time series concept, such as using ARIMA model and a GAM model. We have an example work in our locally, we call Washoe County, which is a Reno area. It's one of the two cities in Nevada. It's Reno, Las Vegas, and Reno. So what we did is air pollution data comes from Washoe County Health District. They have seven monitor stations around the Reno area. So we use their ozone data, the PM data, the particulate matter as PM, and the CO data as air quality indicator. Then the health outcomes, we use multiple different data systems, such as the ER visits for asthma, such as the inpatient discharge for COPD or CVD. And we also checked the school absentees. We try to look at the day of a student not come to school may be related to our environmental quality, air quality. And also we checked the births, such as the low birth weight, the preterm births. So a series of health outcomes. The variables we try to control is if potentially they are related to time, such as the temperature, such as the wind speed, such as the weekend holidays, the snow days, no school days, the seasonality every season. Some disease may relate to season. So I put a couple of diagnoses apparently it's not related to air quality, such as, I didn't put a finger cuts here, but when we do the analysis, we did that. It's apparently not related to the time. Two models, a typical standard one is ARIMA and a GAM. In fact, the GAM is more more acceptable nowadays. Here's the concept. Many of you are statisticians. Can look at that easily. This is the concept model we used. Here's some results, such as the COPD and the PM10. Both of them do have the weekday, the day of the week effect. So how are you going to control this effect? Here's the results we compared the two models, ARIMA model and the GAM model. And here's the example, we put the relative risk. You can tell when PM10 increase at a certain level, the relative risk increased very significantly. So after we have those match we have quite a bit of pairs of comparisons. Lots of model has been conducted. On this study, as duration for this study, it's been a while. However, we generated very comfortable and very satisfied the results, the research results. We published at peer-reviewed journals for as the results, as I mentioned. Again, you can check from those journals. I put here, if you are interested, I can send you the PowerPoint, those list of our references we published as peer-reviewed journals. The last example I like to give to you is the linkage by space, so-called the spatial analysis. If exposure, behavior, and health outcomes are happening in the same area, the same location, you can do a spatial analysis to compare them. And at this point, there's a concept, built environment, many of you heard that, which is a space which people live there, work there, recreation, and day-by-day basis. And at this point, there are several areas being checked, such as physical activity and a built environment, and obesity, and social capital, mental health. Those areas has been checked with the built environment running, surrounding them. For statistical issues, first you need to have the GIS concept. You need to geocode your information, your system. Secondly, you might have individual level information. At the same time, lots of information because you share one space. It's a community level or larger level. So you need to do multi-level mixed model analysis. So that's two things for the analysis. The example I give to you today is what we checked is a built environment and a physical activity. The data is from different sources. Some of them are open sources, all of you can have. One thing that's new, I don't think any people have done this in this country, is we do have individual information about the physical activity and the risk behaviors from the Behavior Risk Surveillance System, the BRFSS. We did check every individual address and geocoded them. Then some other information, such as the EPA's air quality data, such as FBI's safety, the crime rate data, the census data about the density and the population, and so on. So the individual factors is physical activity. People answered very detailed about their physical activity and their health behaviors. The community level data, I have population density, air quality, and we put the comfort index for the weather. So the raining days, not comfortable exercise days, and the commuting time for that society. And also the violence, property crime, and violence crime, and then the recreation location, the distance, we measure distance. Then what we did was I'll do the buffer zone. If one people live here, then I have a buffer in half mile, 1 mile, 3 miles. So within that neighborhood, that zone, anything different, if they have recreation centers and the other factors involved. So here's the map we it's an example we showed you. You can tell the Nevada have two major cities, Las Vegas and Reno there. A lot of samples are from there. And we did analysis. The final results showed the built environment has not that strong, but do related. But compared to individual factors, are not that strong. Anyways, when we do data linkage, we do have to face some challenges, such as IRB, you need to have this approval, and agency coordinations, because different territory have their different information. Missing values, variables, when you have the system, they may not design for your public health research. And the quantity of data may very different from one system to another. However, we do find, as I showed you, it is acceptable in many ways as a research and existed there, and it's very practical and achievable as long as you're willing to do that. Thank you. It is challenged, as many of you may face that. When you try to use one system's information, they get their own IRB. When you do the linkage, you go to the next level. One system concern become everybody's concern, the different multiple systems concern, such as the survey. At first, you may design a survey. I'm not going to ask your name, your address, those information. I'm not going to keep this. You're not supposed to keep this. So when you do this kind of information, you have a lot of personal identifiers. You got to get approval, and you need to protect them first. Then you need to have the next level approval. Like BRFSS, we have federal level, BRFSS is commonly used. Then we have to have our local level IRB approval. So that's the challenge.